Welcome to ADHD is Over, a new podcast on a seemingly old label that we're going to be peeling off. Join my wife, Tatiana, and I as we journey with our family, the Wyden family, through the land of confusing information. We're going to visit both sides and let you decide because the power is with you. Welcome to ADHD is Over.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the podcast. Glad you're here. If you're returning, welcome back. If you're new, welcome. So glad to have you. We are now in almost every country. We have listeners from almost every country. I counted. We're close. And I am so excited to share that we are now close to 2,000 listeners a week, which for a podcast that is only organically grown, to me, A, it warms my heart. It's not about the numbers. But I remember the day when I started and I had one listener and I was so excited. Oh my God, somebody is listening to the podcast. How cool. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for being a listener, for sharing this message, introducing the podcast to other friends and family members in the hopes that it can make a difference. Today's episode is called Don't Give Up. And this is not only me talking to myself, S-E-L-F, but also me talking to you, the listener. This is an important episode because having done research into ADHD for now over 7 years, that's a long time. And I'm still at it because part of me doesn't want to let go just yet. It is over, in a sense, in our family. ADHD is over. But there's something that still has me continue to make sure this message outlives me. And that could be a selfish thing, right? It's, for me, not so much about leaving a legacy. It's more about spreading a message that I think will actually benefit society, will actually inspire people, and have them feel empowered, not disempowered. So a famous meme came to mind when I was prepping this episode. And by prepping, I don't usually have notes or anything, but just setting up the files and, you know, something came to my mind. I looked it up. It's a famous meme. You've seen it. It's two people underground in what looks like a cave or a, mine. And both of them have a pickaxe. And one has a tunnel above the other. And both are just hammering that pickaxe into the cave's wall, right? The rock. And one of them has caved himself out a really nice path. And we can see that behind the wall, there are diamonds. And one of the guys is still picking at it. The other one has given up. He's like, I've freaking hammered at these cave walls for months and there's nothing here. And the other one still keeps going. So I'm here to say to myself, to you, to everyone listening, don't give up. The thing that you're after is just behind that wall that we've been picking away at. And if you give up today, you'll never get the diamond. And now it's a metaphor, right? You can substitute this for a peaceful home, your child doing well at school, a relationship working out, attracting finances, attracting a partner, creating a life that you love is just behind that wall that we've been picking at, that we've been hammering at. Now, I have no guarantee. I don't know your life. I only know mine. And even if I did know your life, I still don't have a guarantee. Life does not come with a guarantee. I always say, there's no guarantees in life. That's why companies create warranties. It's basically like saying, we know shit's going to break, so when it does, we'll replace it. It's the next closest thing, the best, right? The next best thing to a guarantee. So if we don't have a guarantee in life, all we have is faith. And I'm not talking about religious faith. If you do have religious faith, that's great. I'm talking about whatever you call the faith, whatever you call your faith, however you generate, create faith in your life. That is one of the most important things I've come to learn, especially over the last year or so. Why faith, Roman? Because there is no guarantee. And so the only thing that can keep getting us, you know, keep having us get up in the morning to continue creating our lives is some form of faith. You could call it hope, inspiration, vision, whatever. But if we don't actually have faith, and here's another word you can insert easily, trust, right? If we don't have trust in some divine plan or higher power, something bigger than ourselves, that's going to be a rough life. That's going to be tough. It's doable. I know people who don't believe in any higher power, any God, anything, you know, at all, and they're just doing their thing. I would assert that they're kind of lost in an almost cycle of trying to make it to the end of life, trying to do the best that they can, right? No judgment. You do you. I do me. But the reason why trust or faith in something bigger than ourselves is so important is because if we just quiet, like when I meditate and I'm just quiet and present to all there is, the sort of omnipotent silence, right? This like, wow, silence. And it's really best when I'm in nature and I'm just there, and it's almost like I can feel the silence of the rocks and the trees and nature and the sky. And the other day I was hiking, and what came to me was God speaks to us in silence, like in meditation, even prayer, right? God doesn't speak to us while we're praying. While we're praying, we're uttering words, we're speaking. How God speaks to us is in silence. And it's almost as if higher power, you can insert, you don't have to call it God. If it triggers you, call it whatever, the universe, higher power, so forth, all there is, right? It's almost set up in a way that it is in that silence that we get to hear truth. And we, whether we hear it like audible or not, whether it's through signs, right? You see a sign out in life, something written or whatever, something happens. Those things, to me, the deepest messages I've gotten in life came sort of as a bounce back in silence. Like I would do a prayer, I would sit still or whatever, and I would get something. I would feel it, hear it, whatever. Existentially feel it, right? Not always. I don't usually hear stuff. Some people do. And so it is when we can get quiet in meditation through prayer and so forth. And again, if you're not religious, you don't have to say prayer. You can call it your mantra or meditation or your manifestation, whatever it is, right? And I feel that we're all connected to this higher power, the all there is, the universe, everything, right? We're in it, we're part of it. And when we quiet down, we can actually access, the word really is access, knowledge and wisdom from the all. That's why it's called higher power, because you and I are powerful people. Each one of us is powerful, no doubt. But combine all of us and every plant and every animal and every rock and every drop of water and, you know, combine it all. It is so powerful, higher power. It is so intelligent, right? Has wisdom from millions of years. And, you know, we made time up, but it just is now all. And it knows now, right now, all of it. Side note, even people that are scared of AI, think about it. AI is a part of higher power. It is something we, the humans, created, perhaps through inspiration. Could be higher power, could be not. But it's inside of the intelligence that the all there is. So even AI is not as powerful as all there is, higher power, God, universe, whatever you want to call it, right? And we're a part of that. We can access any knowledge, any wisdom there is out there in the world at any time. That's how lots of artists create. That's why sometimes similar ideas show up in the world in terms of art or literature and so forth. We can tap into it through meditation, through getting quiet. And this is not like a meditation pitch, pro meditation. I would imagine if you meditate and your kids meditate, you're going to have a much calmer household. Yes, I can say that in regard to ADHD. But I just wanted to kind of set that baseline here with trust and faith. And that's very important when I say don't give up. Because I do believe that each one of us is here on this earth. Our souls have come here. You can call it a mission, a purpose. I call it we're traveling a path individually to evolve, to grow, right? Because it's the ever-evolving intelligence called the universe or all there is or higher power that is interested or just naturally evolving, meaning getting wiser, smarter, even those are just words and they're just meaning, but it is literally growing intelligence. And we're part of that. So I believe there is a path each one of us, you and I, have on this planet. And we've made agreements to come into this lifetime here, this reality on Earth. And we've also agreed to encounter certain people and get certain lessons, right? The school of life, the school of Earth, Earth school. And when you look at all of that from a sort of a bird's eye view or universal bird's eye view, then there's no right or wrong. There's no fortunate or less fortunate. There's just you and your path. And there are things that happen. There are lessons we get. There aren't even mistakes or successes. There are just events and lessons and growth. And if we can look at it that way, then if you don't give up, if you and I continue striving for what we want, and it's more about what our soul actually wants. It's not what we think we want. It's what our soul needs. And if we are connected to a higher power, if we actually surrender, and here's the kicker, if we actually surrender to the will of the higher power, again, you can say God, universe, all there is, if we surrender to the will of higher power, not to our own will. And this is where I used to get bent out of shape. It was like, whoa, wait, we have free will. I was told by lots of spiritual teachers, free will, you can have anything you want, you know. I was excited about that. And now I've heard this concept that, well, it's actually better to live the will of God or the will of higher power. And I was like, whoa, no. I don't want to give up my individuality. I want to be able to do what I want to do. Well, here is the kicker. Free will we do have, yes, absolutely, to do anything we want. Higher power's will leads to fulfillment. Free will leads to whatever it leads to. When we are driven by our ego, when we are driven to acquire as many physical things in life that we possibly can, when we acquire to, have pleasures of all kinds, physical pleasure, you name it, right? If that's what we're acquiring, all of these things we are acquiring because we think they're going to fulfill us. We think, and this is kind of the subconscious or the unconscious path I've gone for a while, thinking that that's going to lead to happiness. I will fill my void, right? We all have that void of I'm not lovable, I don't matter, basically a self-love void. And I've been trying to fill that with external things, with the will, my free will. I want this. I need this. instead of turning over my life to a higher power and say in my prayer, God, higher power, show me what you are willing to experience through me. I'll say that again. Dear God, dear higher power, show me on a daily basis what you are willing, meaning what is your will, for me. Like, what are you willing for me to experience? What are you willing to experience through me? It's as if we're saying to all there is, the sum total of all of us, I'm part of you, and I'm curious, through me, this part called Roman, what are you, higher power, universal intelligence, intending to experience? And when I started turning my life over to that higher power and actually be open to live my life, right, to the will of God or higher power, not to my ego's will, I'm here to say that life is so much simpler and calmer and less frenetic. And it's still challenging, don't get me wrong, but I feel like I'm not wasting my time. I feel like I can actually look myself in the mirror and say, wow, I'm achieving some really great things in life. And right now I'm doing a lot of self-development and personal growth. And to me, that is the most important work. You've heard me say this before. Everything else is busyness, right? That's why we call it business, busyness. But the work to really transform ourselves from the inside out, right? To heal our wounds that need tending to fill our own cup with self-love, not with external substances or people or things. When we do that work and turn ourselves around, and I believe it's everyone's lesson in this crazy world, to go into the frenetic world, the distraction that the world is, and to eventually start to climb back out and find serenity, find peace, find quiet, find the center of ourselves. That is the most important work. And I'm here to say that that work is, in essence, the will of God or higher power of the universe. And when you look at it that way, can you ever give up? Of course you can. Again, it's free will. We can give up. There's people that give up, right? They're checking out of this earthly reality. They have enough. They give up. They're out, right? I do believe they will somehow come back, or their path will continue somewhere else. And, you know, there's lessons to get, right? Who am I to say that's not right or wrong, or someone shouldn't do that, shouldn't check out, should stay here, should whatever. There's no shoulds. But I'm here to say, if you feel called to do something, if you really want to, in this case, change your family's environment, you want to change the life of your child, you want to create harmony, you want to, you know, not label your child with a disorder like ADHD, you don't want to medicate, you really want to create harmony in life, it's possible. I'm here to say, don't give up. It's coming. Now, life isn't going to be all roses all the time, but you're going to experience, just like I am, more frequent moments of total serenity where you have nothing and you're just content and it's just awesome and you don't need anything. And the more I meditate and the more I do breath work and the more I do therapy, the more I work on my distractions, my obsessions, my addictions through programs and workshops, the more of that work I do, the freer I feel, the less I actually need. And the more I realize that, wow, I have surrounded myself with so many distractions and actually so many people and you know, so-called friendships that don't actually inspire me, that don't serve me, that are just there because I thought I just needed them. And when I got off of social media, it was even more evident of like, I don't need it. Not at all. Zero. When I want to talk to my family and I want them to know what I'm doing, I can pick up a phone and call them. I can write an email. When I want to reach a friend, I call them, I text them, send an email, whatever. Making new people, new friends, right? meeting cool humans, that happens in life. I don't need to keep tally of how many friends I have. I don't need to worry about if anyone likes what I do or what I look like right now. I don't need it. It actually does not contribute to my serenity. In contrary, it used to add frenetic energy to my life. And I was so busy and so caffeinated and so overwhelmed and overworked that I didn't even notice, you know, because we're always told like the grind and work harder than the next person and get up at 4 and have your 4-hour morning routine and work for 14 hours and, you know, make millions and drive supercars and then film yourself and put it on YouTube and make even more money and then be famous and then get contracts and make even more money and be more famous. That's all an illusion. That's a hamster wheel. That's a shallow way of living. I'm not saying it's nothing against making money, nothing against, you know, following your passion. But there is a limit for me, especially, you know, for how much frenetic energy I could take into my life. And I've recently, over the last couple of years, learned some really big lessons thanks to some beautiful, beautiful, beautiful humans. And I have been woken up to how fast and for how long I've been running away from my own pain, how I've tried to basically numb myself through caffeine, sometimes alcohol, sex, drugs, rock and roll, you name it, and how it was all just postponing the day when I needed to face all of me. And I could have given up. I could have said, you know what? I don't want to. It's too much. Let me just take a pill. Let me just continue my lifestyle. Let me just stay busy with work. Let me just eat more. Let me, you know, do more drugs, have more sex, whatever. Distract myself, right? Watch more Netflix and so forth. Again, no judgment against any of these things. In moderation and when done healthy, all is well. But I wasn't doing it in a healthy way. And when I finally stopped and said, okay, time out. Let me strip myself of all my distractions. Let me go cold turkey and really go inward and see what I actually need. I started to realize that what I needed is just my own validation and my own love. The nurture that I'd never gotten as a child because my parents did the best they could, but there was no warmth, no true connection or warmth. So I felt unlovable. I felt like I don't matter. I felt disconnected. And I also came with a fear of abandonment. So I have my attachment issues, right? I saw that super loudly and clearly in my last relationship with a beautiful human, a beautiful teacher. But I had to remove myself because I was not healthy in the area of relationships. My void that I'd been trying to fill with people or pleasures or things was so empty that I needed to stop all the distractions. I needed to pull myself out of everything, go into full withdrawal and feel the feelings. Really feel the loneliness, the emptiness, the insignificance, the I don't matter, I'm not lovable. And really feel the sadness, and lots of anger came up, lots of resentment towards life itself, even God, towards women, towards men, towards money, towards you name it. Lots of anger came up. And it doesn't matter why. You may be like, well, why are you angry at women? That's not the point. There are things that happened in my childhood that I've collected resentments about, right? And those resentments have affected everything in my life. And I recently got that when I keep myself small, I do so to punish myself, to keep my, basically the lower self is trying to keep the higher self small, because that's how I felt, how I was treated in childhood. I was made small. I had no power. I was basically put in a tiny little cage and said, you just be quiet. You just follow directions. You just do what we tell you to do by the women in my life. So no wonder I have resentment and anger towards women. So I would act out in life in order to keep that system alive, to keep myself small, to punish myself. I know I'm getting psychoanalytical here, but again, don't give up, because I wanted to give up. In the last year, I've wanted to give up every once a week. I'm like, I don't want to do this work anymore. I want to be like everyone else out there, just numbing out and pretending things are good. I know that sounds ironic, right? Of course I don't want to do that. But sometimes I would feel that way. You know, I would look at other people who are still numbing out with things and just pretending all is well, as I'm like, God damn it, they still get to do that. But that again was my lower self talking. It's like, I don't get to do this anymore, right? My ego is like, I want to keep doing that. That was fun. My higher self knows that that does not lead to a fulfilled, serene life. That leads to more frenetic living, to more disconnected living, to more painful. It's postponing our pain until someday. And someday that pain will either be so embodied, meaning there will be a disease in the body that we then call, oh, I'm unlucky. I got punished. I now have this thing out of nowhere, quote unquote. But it's never out of nowhere. The pain that we postpone is festering inside of us and is creating dis-ease. We're not at ease. And I'm so grateful, again, thanks to several teachers in my life over the last few years, that I've been woken up to all of this, that I've been brought to my knees to really take on what needs the healing. And I'm here to say, as parents, don't give up. If you're here listening to this podcast, you like the podcast, you like what I talk about, it resonates with your being, you're on the right path, you are doing the work. Simply by listening to this or forwarding it or by signing up for a newsletter and so forth. You are doing the work. Don't give up. It's a long path, but it's not about the destination here. It's the journey. This path gets more beautiful and more beautiful and more beautiful. It's as when you're going on a hiking trail, and as you're going up, right, the view gets better and better. The higher you go, yes, it gets harder, steeper. The higher you go and you turn around and you look over the valley and you're like, oh my God, what a beautiful view, right? I'm here to say when you don't give up, the view gets better. And it's hard work. And so I also want to acknowledge you. If you're listening here as a parent of a child that's been diagnosed with the so-called disorder, ADHD, or if you're just someone doing research or listening and you're really curious about this, I hate to call it alternative point of view. To me, it's just the most human point of view on what we're dealing with here. I acknowledge you for being here. Thank you for you know, making an effort to listen to the podcast. Thank you for being someone who shows up for themselves or their family, their kids, to see, can they evolve? Can they improve? Can they be better parents? When I say better, I simply mean more aware. Can they be more powerful in raising their children, guiding them, right? Can they be more, as they call it, conscious parenting? Can we be more conscious and aware moment to moment to moment to disrupt the sort of autopilot, hand-me-down parenting skills that are given to us by, well, our parents, right? They're handed down. It's almost as if they were in our DNA, but that's not so. It's environment. Same goes for ADHD. It's not a genetic disorder. They try to say that it is. It's not. There's no ADHD gene. You don't hand it down genetically and you're predetermined. You're predisposed, but it's because of how your brain was shaped in the environment. There's a lot of science about that. I'm not making this up. The brain forms in response to the environment. So again, there's so much that we can do when we pause, And when we realize that the sort of autopilot action as a parent will not create harmony, will not create, you know, evolution in the family, will not create peace, and we can redirect and we can reinvent ourselves. And in essence, we're at that moment rewiring our brain, you know, moment by moment. And we become parents or people who pause. And the word pause is really meaningful for me. I've come to really embrace that word in the last, just this last couple of months. Because I'm realizing the recovery that I'm doing, like to recover my higher self, almost like clawing it back from my lower self, if you want a metaphor. This recovery that I've been going through has shown me that I can pause any time in life. If someone asks a question, I can take a pause and really go, huh, what do I want to answer here? And not so much, of course, you could say, well, just truth. Still, you could take a moment and go, is this question maybe too personal? Should I say something like, I'm not ready to answer that? Or, you know, whatever the reason is, we can pause. I now respect people who pause. And you can really tell that they're not only committed to speaking the truth, but they really want to make sure what's added to this conversation in this moment is valuable, feels comfortable to them, and it's truthful, right? And that pause has completely changed my life. It has changed my life, how I relate to people. Because in the past, I would meet people, especially in the case of women, and I'd be like, ooh, I'm attracted to this person. Okay, let's go. Let's meet. Let's date. Let's do it. Let's move in. You know, there were no pauses. Now what I do is when I meet people, doesn't matter if it's men, women, you know, if I'm considering someone as a friend, I give it time. I pause. I'm like, oh, I really like this person. Let's see. And then meet again, maybe just for half hour or hour coffee and have more conversations and be really truthful and make sure the conversations aren't like, you know, overshared. Too much information, like, you know, I used to do that, sort of being needy, trying to impress people, trying to fill these sort of silent moments, you know, because I was uncomfortable. Now I just pause and I could just smile at someone and just give space. And what a world of difference that has made for me. And it's also the same with our children, you know, when our children come to us and they're all stressed out and dealing with something, it's like we could just pause and just take a deep breath, look in their eyes and just take a deep breath, because they always co-regulate with our nervous system. So when we're stressed, they're feeling the stress, right? But when they're coming to us stressed, and we can just take a moment, take a deep breath and look at them and just kind of, you don't have to smile, but like one of those like happy things are going to be fine smirks, right? I call it a happy smirk. Where you just kind of breathe in and breathe out and it's like, what's going on? And this is a little parenting trick because I'm also a certified conscious parenting coach. Once in a while I throw them in. Don't ever say what's wrong, honey. I know we're coming from love and we're trying to but just listen to those words, what's wrong? In other words, you being stressed out, you being emotional, I consider that as wrong. So what kind of wrong is it, right? Instead of just saying, what's going on? That's all we need to say ever as parents. What's going on? Tell me more. Staying curious, right? When we can do that, a whole nother world opens up. I know this has been a roundabout conversation. The topic was don't give up. But the whole point here is that all this work that you're doing, that I'm doing, is leading to diamonds. And the diamonds, I now know, are a metaphor for serenity. Serenity to me means to live a life with as much peace as you can create. Life isn't always going to be peaceful. But when we can be in a hectic moment and still create peace, internal peace, this knowing that things will be fine. Again, I'm going back to the faith, the trust in life itself, in higher power, that this is all happening for my highest good. It's not happening to me. It's happening for me because I've also manifested all of the things in my life How do I know? Well, they're here. Even if you don't believe in manifestation, guess what? All the things that are in your life. So they're here. So we get two choices, accept or deny. And if you're denying, if you're basically refusing to be with what's in your life, good luck, right? But if we can accept it and say, oh, this situation or this person is in my life right now, how do I get to react? You accept it, you go, well, it's here. You don't have to accept it morally. You don't have to agree with it. You could just say, oh, well, there's something here in my life. So what do? You have two choices to react, right? We can react with love or righteousness. And when we come from love, the result will always be more serenity in life. But when we come from, you know, rejection or judgment or fear or anger, which is sort of in that camp, it never leads to serenity. It just generates more of itself, more frenetic energy, more hate, more fear, more whatever, stress, anxiety. Look around the world. So much anxiety and depression. It's another topic, but I believe that all of that is created from not accepting what's so in our lives, what's in front of us, what's here, what we need to accept and then work with. The denial of these things or the refusal, right? Like, I don't want this. I don't like this. Okay, but it's here. You know, that acceptance to me melts away stress, fear, anxiety, depression, all of that. And that's a bigger topic. I don't want to talk about anxiety and depression in such a surface, you know, on such a surface level. But truly, to live a life of serenity, we just have to start doing the work. We have to remove from our lives the things that are not serene as much as we can. And I believe that medication, prayer, workouts, hikes in nature, eating better, right? Stop numbing out with things, food, television, gambling, drugs, sex, you name it. All of these things are simply distractions. They're distracting us from having to face our own pain, from having to heal our own wounds. That big void, it's just your 6-year-old, 5-year-old, your little self that says, please, somebody love me. And that somebody is you and me. That is our older self, our now self, that can give love to that child self. And that's what fills that void, together with a belief in higher power. That can heal that, but nothing else. Not a person, not a drug, not a brand new car, not a vacation, not a mansion. None of that has anything to do with possibly filling that void. That void needs to be filled by us and the belief and the faith, the trust in a higher power, that life is going to work out, that we're here for a reason. And if we don't give up, that reason will be revealed to us, that purpose. And we will live that purpose and find serenity, find fulfillment. That is my belief. That's why I wanted to do a quick episode called Don't Give Up. So don't give up. Continue the great work. The top of the mountain view over the valley is yours. Serenity is yours, especially in families with children that have been diagnosed, you know, where there's frenetic energy. Serenity really is what we're all after, that peaceful interaction. And I'm here to say that it's possible. I've seen it in our own family with my kids. It's 1,000% possible. But we, the parents, we got to start doing the work. Our child or our children are not the problem. We get to heal our shit, as we say, and then we get to honor our children and guide them, parent them along the way so they can unfold and become the magnificent, unique human beings that they are, the souls that came to this planet, you know, to walk down their own path, different from our paths. We are not here to tell them which path to go down or how to do it. We're just here to guide them, to keep them as safe as we can. And they will discover their own path. They will do their own work. We all have our own work cut out for us. But if we as the parents stop and give up doing that work, ain't gonna go so well. So, thank you for listening. Hope to have you back again soon on ADHD's Over. Have a great day. Cheers.